Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your Franchising 101 host. Today, this is super cool. I'm really excited about this. We have, we have a record. We have three guests, all from one franchise. We definitely want to talk about their franchise, but they've got an amazing story. And with this week being Veterans Day, actually tomorrow, or this is coming out November 10th, Veterans Day is tomorrow. We've got three folks that are all veterans that are joining us. Not just veterans, but a great story behind that, how it turns into a franchise and one that we are proud to be working with today. So we're going to bring these jokers on here in a second. First, quick little reminder of who we are. Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals interested in owning a franchise. We are here to help find clients find the absolute best franchise for them to own. And occasionally, as we're going to find out, actually even kind of help people understand franchising to be a franchisor at some point. That's a brief little thing on us. I don't even want to talk about us. I want to get to these dudes. So our guests today, three amazing gentlemen that they have founded and are kind of running together, a relatively new franchise, super cool, totally different than pretty much everything else we work with out there. Called Grizzly Auto Detailing. We have Mr. Andy Scroggin, Ben Burdick, and Josh Hagen joining us today. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Hey, Tim, thank you so much for having us on.
I love that you guys have come on and excited to talk to you guys. We're going to get into all sorts of like great Grizzly stories about Grizzly Auto Detailing. Perhaps something that has to do with a Grizzly tattoo. I don't want to be a spoiler on that or anything. No pressure, Josh. But first off, give us your story and just a little background and how that kind of led into the world of franchising.
Absolutely. So, hey, I'm Andy Scroggin. I'm the founder and CEO of Grizzly Auto Detailing. I'm here with my CFO, Ben Furtick, as well as my president and original founder of Grizzly Auto Detailing, Joshua Hagen. And really, you know, it's a kind of an interesting story, a long story with a military founding background to it. But I'd be remiss if I didn't turn it over to Josh to talk about how he got into detailing and what his original vision was for the business.
Appreciate you, Andy. Andy's awesome, you guys. It's probably like every other story out there. You know, you have, for me, for example, let's jump into it. For me, for example, I remember growing up with my dad, who I love with a passion, always cleaning his car with him. He had a couple different really nice cars. He had a 94 C4 Vet, the Grand Sport Edition. After that, he had a 2002 Z06 Triple Black Vet. And so, you know, all the time he'd be like, "Hey, Josh, you want to help me wash the car?" Looking back now, I realized he was just trying to get me to do the hard work. But anyways, here nor there. It was something that I really bonded with my dad on. You know, I look up to my dad a lot. There's a lot of history that goes into the Grizzly name in general, because my dad played for the University of Montana Grizzlies. It kind of ties into the name a little bit. He all went on to play in the USFL, in the NFL. He's got a Super Bowl ring. I keep it upstairs. And so me and my dad, that's something we did a lot together is, you know, we did sports and football together. And, you know, we watched cars together, as cliche as that sounds, but it's a really good father-son bonding thing, if you will. And so that's something that me and him did all the time. And if I was lucky, after I got done washing his car, he would let me, he'd like, "Okay, Josh, you know, instead of using a towel on, let's take it for an air dry." And so if I was lucky, he'd let me be the one to drive his Vet. And so... a couple times I washed his car a little extra without him knowing about it. I went and, you know, air dried the car. But that's where my passion and love for detailing started. So it was tied into my dad. And it was also tied in for my passion of cars. I just remember growing up and being like, "Hey, Dad, can you beat that car?" And trying to get in the race, obviously. And finally, he was just like, "Josh, stop," or whatever. So I really got into cars and I really got into detailing. And so grew up a little bit later. I joined the Army in 2005. I've been in the army for over 18 years at this point. So started detailing cars, and I never really stopped detailing cars in the last 18 years that I've been in the army. I've always done it on the side. I've always, you know, it's just a passion that I have. Everyone knows, if you come over to my house and you have a dirty car, my friends picked up on it because they come over to the house and the car was dirty. I'm like, dude, that's a nice Camaro. Why didn't you clean it? He's like, I don't have time. I'd go in the garage, grab all my stuff. I'm like, I got it. Don't worry about it, you know? And so they got wise to it. And so I found out I started cleaning a lot of cars for free. And so at all my duty stations, you know, I've been all over the country, been all over the world, deployed, combat deployed 4 times. The last one was with you guys. And so the last stint of it, so wherever I went, I always was detailing cars on the side because it was my passion. And so then I moved up to Fort Drum, New York. And then I was there and I was talking to my wife, Sarah, and it was actually kind of her idea. She's like, Josh, you need to stop washing cars for free. I was like, all right, cool, good bit. So I started doing washing cars and at this point detailing cars, because there's a difference between washing cars and detailing cars. So I started detailing cars out of the garage. We got slammed really, really quick and fast because people found out how good the Grizz is at detailing cars, if that makes sense, to the point to where people would show up at the house Saturday morning on the weekends. It's my only day to sleep in. And there's a line of cars outside of my house. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. You know, I had a little drop box people drop their keys into, and I knew everyone. So I knew whose cars was who. So I was like, I knew what everyone wanted. But so at that time I was like, man, this is washing cars. Who would have thought it was picking up like this? And so I got to the point, I got so slammed, I actually started talking to my buddies. I'm like, hey, man, you got any detailing experience? Oh, yeah. Like one of my guys, friends named Jerry, talked to him. I was like, hey, you want to help me detail some cars on the weekend, you know, type of thing? And he got involved, and I formed my own little crew working out of my garage, and we were pushing cars out left and right, probably. At one time, this is out of my garage, I had like 4 or 5 guys working out of the garage, and I was pushing out 10 cars a day doing full details. Wow. And it got massive and it got huge. And then, you know, you always think about, you know, I've had those moments where I'm like, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I can keep doing this. Especially, I'm not 20 years old anymore. And so I was like, I know that I developed something that worked, you know, and it was making money and it was, you know, it was doing a good job. And so I was like, all right, cool. How can we scale this? Now, keep in mind, all this was taking place and it was booming huge right before our last deployment, which is where we deployed to Afghanistan. And I was just like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this, whatever. And I talked to my wife, Sarah. I was like, I don't know if we can shut it down while I'm gone type of thing or what. And so I actually linked up with Ben and Andy. We knew it from from another unit in the Army. And I know they had massive business experience. And so I think we sat down and we talked for a few minutes and I was like, hey, what's something we can do? Because obviously this could be huge and big and we can scale it. And I know you guys had the ideas upon it. So the decision was that, you know, Ben and Andy came on board. We decided to keep the garage open. My poor wife, Sarah, I'm going to apologize to her for the rest of my life, ran it while we were in Afghanistan. And we got to Afghanistan and immediately started working on everything, the business plans, ideas, conceptions, what we wanted to see, what we wanted to make happen. And literally that's how it started. As a matter of fact, if you know the great BAF attack of 2019, I think. So the largest attack on Bagram Air Base in the 20 years that we were in Afghanistan, a 3,000-pound HME VBID hit the gate right next to the old hospital. And all hell broke loose, for lack of a better word, because we'd never been attacked that big on the base before. And so everyone was trying to figure out what was going on. You guys were pilots, so y'all figured out if y'all were going to get spun up, whatever, but that didn't happen. Y'all just hung
out. Well, what happened was it happened at about 6 a.m. And I remember there because Ben and I had come off a night shift the night before and just crashed out. And a VBID, or vehicle borne improvised explosive device, for those of you that have never been in the military or served before, it exploded. And you think of an explosion in a movie, but if you've ever seen The Other Guys with Will Ferrell, when they talk about the Death Star exploding and they call BS on Star Wars, that's pretty accurate to what we felt, right? Because it's a decompressive feeling in your chest, and it's the loudest noise that you've ever heard in your life.
We felt the shockwaves ripple through the chews. You know,
we jumped out of bed, and I remember almost falling out of bed because I'd never heard anything like that before in my life. And then I heard the most gunfire rattling off of 50 cal rounds, as pretty much every heavy weapon team on Bagram Air Base, open fire in every direction. And so there's tracers burning out over our heads, and we don't know what's going on. And then mortar rounds and rocket rounds start coming in. Mm-hmm. And I think we got hit with 9 or 13 mortars in like a 1 hour period. And they were just going off, and we had no idea what was going on. We were bewildered. I remember sitting in my underwear, like looking out of my chew, my little box that I slept in Afghanistan, like peering outside.
And keep in mind, we had left our body armor at our office because we're pilots, and there's no reason we ever need to have weapons or body armor, right? So anyways, we had pistols, little M9 Beretta pistols to defend ourselves with. So we were holed up in our chew, in our underwear, with our little M9s. And then all of a sudden we hit this bang, bang, bang on the door, and we open the door, and there's Josh completely kitted out, like full body armor, helmet, like managed to steal a 249 machine gun from some poor soldier who was probably going to use it.
He was scared.
So Josh had that in his hand. He's like, we got to man the perimeter, guys. And Andy and I just are standing there staring at him in our underwear, like, we are not going out there.
Like, fine, I got it, we're good. No, because we also, at the same time, so we was going on, so they started spooling up the Apaches because all the radio calls started coming in. So here I am in full kit, lugging around a 249, you know, just, I don't know what I was doing, trying to win the war by myself. And so I went and grabbed Scott, when he was one of them, grabbed a couple of these guys, and I grabbed our little Tata truck, and I was loading up all the 64 pilots because they're trying to get to the airfield.
The Apache gunship pilots needed to get back to the airfield to get spooled up to go kill these guys.
Yep. So here I am driving back and forth between the chews where we slept and the airfield with, you know, loads of Apache pilots ready to go, you know, literally destroy
under something. under fire.
So Josh goes and takes his little pickup truck, his Toyota pickup truck, goes bouncing over the sand dunes with about 6 Apache pilots in the back of it while 50 cal rounds are like flying over their heads, and scoots off towards the airfield. And about 30 minutes later, we see Apaches taking off and returning fire. And eventually a Hellfire missile from one of the Apaches took out all the insurgents and ended the attack on Bagram. So imagine all of that, and then 10 days later, we filed our LLC for Grizzly Island.
10 days later, we got our LLC back.
No, we got it back. We had filed it just before, and 10 days later, we got our LLC back for Grizzly Island Detailing.
And that was the funny part, is literally we built, you know, I have the operational aspect of it. I knew how to be, like, you got, Ben, you've learned a lot, especially. Like, you should see him try to ceramic coat a car now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he asked Ben to wash a car. He's like, what is a washer car, you know? But and so we've all, so I had the operational aspect, and then you guys came on board, and all this happened from a chew in Afghanistan.
Yeah. So what Andy and I really saw is, one, we had heard of Josh's business, because if you were on Fort Drum, you knew about John Grizzly Auto Detailing. He was calling it that. So when we got to Afghanistan, you have to understand the war was kind of winding down at that point. Andy and I had a good bit of free time on our hands. We drank a lot of coffee on that deployment, I'll just say that, in between flying combat operations. And so we had a lot of time to think, and initially we wanted to do a business venture together. We looked at some real estate options, but what really caught our eye is Josh still running his business basically from Afghanistan in between all of his other duties. And so we took a look at the numbers, we took a look at the business model, and we said, you know what, there's something here. It's obviously quite lucrative from the single garage that he was running remotely, basically, from Afghanistan. We think that this has some potential to scale. And what we realized in auto detailing is that there hasn't been a ton of innovation. A lot of guys are doing it in their garage in just about every town across America. You can find a small auto detailing shop. I would argue not as passionately as Josh ran his, but they do exist across the country. So Andy and I said, how can we differentiate this? And we realized is that mobile detailing is not a brand new concept, but it's a fairly underdeveloped. It's underdeveloped across the country when it comes to auto detailing. So our first goal was, hey, we want to set up a mobile detailing system. So from Afghanistan, we bought our first 3 mobile units. And I'll tell you, buying a vehicle
sight unseen
from a foreign country, getting bank loans set up in a place where you don't have cell service.
I called 6 banks before somebody would fax my car loan terms to an Afghanistan fax machine.
Yeah. So we ended up buying 3 vehicles while we were there, and we had vehicles operating, doing mobile auto detailing before we were ever back in the United States.
And we showed up back home like, oh, these are our vans that we bought 3 months ago.
Yeah, it was the first time we ever seen them. They had our graphics on them. Yeah. I mean, our guys were out there in t-shirts. Like, we had never met any of our people except for by phone and through video. until that point. So I give Josh a lot of credit. He mentored, I don't know how he did it, but he taught people how to auto detail a car from Afghanistan. So if that tells you anything about our ability to franchise and scale and grow, it's that we can teach you pretty easily how to remotely run this business because we did this from Afghanistan.
You know how hard it is. You know what's interesting is that Ben and I came back and we saw why Sarah, Josh's wife, had called him crying like every night for 6 months in Afghanistan.
She threatened to quit every day.
We put her through to hell and back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she is as equally of an integral part of this business. And that's something that's really forgotten is military spouses are often the ones that are suffering back at home, but they're the ones that make it happen. And she really made it happen. She quit her job and went full time in the business. And that was what allowed us to seamlessly transition and fully work on this project as a team.
She worked for free for 5 months. I'm never going to hear the end of that.
Yeah, right. what we realized, you know, just working with Sarah and her managing the back end is that we really wanted to develop a system that could scale, not just from the operational standpoint, but from back end operations. So we realized that if we were going to do this, we needed to develop a mobile application. The service is not completely on demand, but we wanted to structure it very similarly to any typical on-demand service you would see in the United States because of the customer experience that we could create and because of the ability to enable our detailers to seamlessly go and service a customer, get paid, have a tip left, have a review left, everything all from the palm of their hand. So we ended up developing three unique app platforms, you could say. We have a actual customer mobile application, and then we have a back-end franchisee or operator application that the driver uses to go and service the customer. And then we have a browser-based system that allows us to completely run everything from the back-end for our franchisees or for our operators.
Do you know how to wireframe a mobile application or read it or write HTML by any chance?
No, but I'm sure one of our three listeners do. So if so,
neither did we, but like we taught ourselves in Afghanistan to and we sat down and wireframed and designed this entire mobile application as like in like a fever dream fugue state. At like 1 o'clock in the morning every night, sitting there and typing on our computers. And
we ended up contracting out the back-end development of it, but every single page that you see on that app, we painstakingly designed and placed buttons and thought about the text. Like it is a well-designed mobile application and we've seen great results ever since we launched it.
Yeah. It's really well laid out, right? Too. And I just, I think one of the, from a business model standpoint, to me, that's one of the things that's really, really cool about what you guys have, because like it's a mom and pop industry, right? But when you can get things that are on like this little device that is never very far from us, and make it easy to be able to click, 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 and somebody's gonna come to my house or my office or whatever, and next time I see my car, it's going to look like brand new. That's game changer stuff. So I love the tech and way back to the beginning of all this, like I was blown away hearing your story. And for those of us that don't have military experience, like, you know, oh, hey, I watched some stuff on TV. Right. And, you know, anytime we get the other guy's reference on, like, is always a good thing. But I just like, for the three of you and just in general, let's just take them all. I can't thank you guys and all of the men and women who serve and have served. Thank you so much for that. And I think you guys' point too, the spouses, the families, I can't even imagine how freaking hard that is. My wife and I technically have residents in different states. We go a week without seeing each other. Right. And like, that's like 2 minutes in your world, right? So really thank you, and for all of that, and for everybody else listening out there. Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking, which highlights the best franchises of 2022. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more. One of the things I think is people think of from an ownership standpoint, and I want you to talk about like the owner that you're looking for, but I can't imagine better validation. You guys are brand new, right? So we don't have hundreds of franchise locations out there yet for validation, but I can't imagine better validation that this can be run semi-absentee than you guys, what, 10,000 miles away getting freaking shot at and still managing it, right? Now you're back, you're established, you're finding owners. We know semi-absentee can work. What about somebody that does want to be full-time as an owner? Do you need them out there being Josh, detailing all day long? Do you want that? What are you kind of looking for there?
So I'll turn it over to Ben to talk some of the specifics, but I would say this just initially is that what's a franchisee really in any industry? It's somebody executing on a known plan, right? And so one of our first constituents that we look at is military folks, because, you know, what's better than to continue your mission in life after transitioning the military than joining with a veteran-led brand that caters and really ministers to a military population, because we speak the same language. And we look for people that are military, especially non-commissioned officers transitioning from the military, because what is being a non-commissioned officer in the military? It's executing on a proven plan, right? Yeah. Or some idiot's plan anyways.
Hey, as long as they execute, that's all that matters.
So, and so we look for somebody that can read a book and execute what the book says is part of what we look at. But Ben, I think you can talk.
Yeah. So Tim, we've worked with a whole bunch of different types of people already, because we've already operated this model for several years and we've gone through a lot of hiring. And so, you know, most people, when they think about a detailing, they might think that they're going to be the ones out there doing a lot of the hard labor and you know, washing a car in the sun, or, you know, lifting their equipment in and out of the back of the van. And that just doesn't need to be the case in our model, because of course we are semi-absentee friendly. So our mobile app does a lot to help that, but also we've got years of experience in auto detailing at this point, corporately speaking. We figured out a lot of the kinks that are associated with auto detailing and developed a lot of policies and procedures that really allow people to operate. We say semi-absentee, but it's almost completely absentee, to be honest, if you want to be a basic absentee owner.
In all environments too.
Because we've just seen a lot of the problems that come up in the industry, and we can work directly with the operators that the semi or absentee owners end up hiring to solve most issues before they ever become elevated. And then when it comes to people who potentially want to operate a franchise and be the actual detailer themselves, they'll find themselves with more support than they've ever had before in anything they've done. We will be right by their side for every single detail. We deal with the customer support. We deal with customer conflicts or disputes that may arise. We ensure that they have a high quality of training so that when they go out there, our customers know what they can expect and see the same quality from every detail every time. We provide a national call center so that they don't have to actually take appointments. The operator doesn't have to worry about scheduling and booking appointments, which is huge in the service industry, that we take that from them. Okay. Now, our call center augments our mobile app, which also allows customers to book seamlessly with no interaction from either a customer service representative from us or from the franchisee themselves. So we allow a very, very hands-off approach when it comes to having to manage the back end of your business as an operator. You go out, you learn your craft, and you become a really great auto detailer if that's what you want to do in your life.
Gotcha. Well, I would think somebody that's maybe more active in the business, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, guys, like you think of all the marketing things you have in place to, again, drive people to the app, make that phone ring, right, to the call center. But being able to connect in the community to create the awareness. Hey, you don't have to drive over there and stand in line. We will come to you, right? We're all very like, we have no patience, right? We want things exactly how we want it when we want it, right? And that you're going to come to my house. I would even think like connecting with, you know, local businesses, right? There's an office plex, build those connections because you are coming to them. They could be sitting in their dang cubicle, right? On the 40th floor, you guys down there detailing their car and they're coming out and that's, you know, that 2002 Corolla is looking brand spanking new, right? Whatever that might be, that type of, again, just that connection in the community as somebody that's going to be more active detail, I guess, if you want, but really get your people in place for that. And then get out and spread the word for Grizzly around the community, right?
Absolutely. And I think Josh can speak to this the best.
I think you really hit the nail on the head on that one, because that's something we face is we've had issues with employees or detailers, and you're like, how do you get them to care as much about detailing cars or as much about the business as the owner does by making them an owner? And Andy had the great idea on the franchising aspect. And honestly, when you have an owner operator running it, you're going to get more passion. You're going to get more heart. And honestly, they are there and they want to be there. And then I love using this word, but that kind of person is going to be the one who's going to have that hustle, that heart, that drive, who's going to go establish B2B plans with either dealerships, you know, fleet vans, U-Haul centers, all these different places. And he's there right in front of the people and he's making those deals happen.
Yep.
And it's just simply talking to people. So being local, absolutely.
And if I may, Tim, you know, this might be the part of the podcast that Tim totally did not pay me to say. But it's interesting that sitting back in 2020, back to when we first had the idea for franchising, and this is something that you like to ask people, is how did you get into franchising? And what I'll say is that we were looking at avenues for scaling, and we thought about venture capital, and we talked to some investors and raised some friends and family and some angel money, and we went down some other avenues. But then I started getting turned on to franchising, and I did two things. I bought Mark Seibert's book, which if you're in franchising, you've probably heard of Mark and his team over at iFranchise. I got into that, and then I started lurking for podcasts, and I found this little brand new podcast that had started around the same time called, Franchising 101. And this guy named Tim, and I started, and I think in about 4 or 5 days, Ben and I listened to about 20 episodes of the podcast and just like mainlined them like through an IV because we started to get really excited about this concept of franchising. So it's so weird and surreal to be sitting here, you know, 4-ish years later, talking to you on the podcast that we listened to that got us down this road in the first place. So thank you for having this platform.
Well, no, cool. And I appreciate that. But if you could repeat all that again, that would be great. But don't, you know, if it goes south, don't come find me. Right. So no, it is. And the fact that like you told me that the other day and I was like, man, that's really cool. And we've been able to like, really it's cheesy. And what's funny is on the off chance, my wife would actually listen to this because she would tell you like, oh God, don't listen to the first ones. They sucked. And then she would follow that up with listen to the ones she's on because those are the good ones, right? But it like
where
I was
gonna
use, she's got a thing. But I always use the line like it, and it's cheesy, but like this is all about creating your better tomorrow, and to be able to do that like in some small way help you guys get to where you are is super cool, and I think. Just the like the whole timing of how this worked out, right? Literally, we've got one of our clients just now getting started, kind of vetting with you guys, and we've not had this partnership for too awful long. It all fell in line really cool, and I'm excited for you guys. And you guys had mentioned the thing about like for you guys veterans in particular, but just franchising in general is such an amazing pathway for our military men and women, because I think people with military background and athletic backgrounds naturally make great franchise owners, because you know how to work your ass off. You know how to follow a plan or else, right? Here, and again, I hate comparing the two in some regards, because you guys are talking about like getting shot at, right? From a military standpoint, I got to follow the plan or it's not going to go well. And my measly little basketball career, you know, hey, we might lose a game, right? Not quite the same thing, but that work ethic, the discipline, training, leadership, all of those skills. But most importantly, every franchise is going to say, we want somebody that's going to follow a plan, right? And then for you guys, I think being able to give back and give opportunities, just, and I know Andy, when we were talking the other day, you could just hear that passion coming from you guys. Not that somebody has to be a veteran to own a Grizzly auto detailing, right? You still need to follow the plan or, you know, Josh can come show up and smack you guys around, right? So
when you come to training and Josh starts like teaching you stuff, you're going to feel like you're in the military, but
that's all right. And you know, you mess up something on somebody's dash and Josh would make you drop and give you 20. So, be prepared. So, what else from a Grizzly auto detailing standpoint, as somebody is listening, right? And again, I said earlier, three listeners, but they're all actually on this podcast. So if there happens to be anybody else listening, right?
Long time listeners, first time callers, right?
There we go. Love it, man. I can't believe it took you that long to get that one in. What else would you guys want somebody to know that's thinking, hey, like, again, the automotive, this is totally different than anything else that's out there. You've got an amazing tech platform. You got open space basically everywhere in like the country, right? Opportunity to get in, scalability is fantastic with this. What are we missing? What else would you want to share about Grizzly Auto Detailing from a franchise prospective franchisee standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think that you hit on a lot of the key ones. One of the things that I would say is just if you want to work in a career or a profession that allows you ultimate freedom over your schedule and how much interaction with your business or how little interaction with your business, I think it's awesome. I'll tell you that running a service-based business like this, every little thing that you do is easy. It becomes difficult when there's a million different things that you do. And having all these tapped systems that we've created because we've seen what goes good, what goes bad, what goes ugly in the business, and then putting it in your hands, that institutional knowledge is great. The other thing is that I would just kind of look back at the app, not just as a customer-facing platform, but it's also a management platform. It allows you to see around corners. We have GPS tracking that lets you know where your vans are at. You can see the calendars. You can see rating and reviews akin to an Uber or an Airbnb whenever your contractor does a good job or a bad job, each of your technicians that's out on the job site. And then it's also a marketing platform because we have centralized data processing where we're all able to feed out reports on important customer metrics and KPIs and then feed that back into our marketing to make it more successful. So it's a big buzzsaw that constantly refines itself in the digital space. And so that's a very, very powerful feature that's built into the business because we are so tech enabled.
And I think that's such a fantastic differentiator. And one of the things, honestly, kind of blew me away with you guys is the call center piece, right? I would assume the call center, a lot of what they're doing is then making the people aware of the app so they don't have to call in again. But some people are old like me and they want to pick up the phone and call somebody, right? But the fact that the phone is answered like that, I think that's one of the biggest differentiators. And I literally had a business card from a local dude that does detailing that I literally, my kid and I were riding bikes in the neighborhood, saw him, got his business card, reached out 2 weeks ago, and it took 3 days before he texts me back, right? And he's like, oh, we've got to their credit, they've got a business number and a website now, right? Like, oh, great, I'll hop on there and schedule. Nothing, right? I still had to do the same thing, text again, 2 days, finally got a response. Then I was out of town, then I forgot. And that was literally all right before really first talking to you guys about, as it turned out, a prospective client of ours. But I was just like, from a consumer standpoint, was blown away for a you know, and a micro emerging franchise like you guys get your shit together. And Josh, I told you not to swear on this thing, and then I ended up doing it anyway, right?
So, you're good.
So I don't want to offend the Army dudes, right? But you guys really have this incredible plan well laid out. Again, come in and execute it and provide that great customer service, because again, there's nothing like, again, if your car, you come out and it's one thing, yeah, I got a car wash, but having it detailed and detailed it really well, like I know you guys do, is like, I don't know, there's just, you don't have to have a fancy car like Josh and his dad. You could just like my 1972 Ford Pinto out there that I drive every day, right? Like you can make it look brand spanking new. And it's a great feeling, and it's going to drive people, no pun intended, to come back to you over and over and over. I'm so glad we got you on, and not just because it's Veterans Day, and to thank you guys and everybody in our military for their service. What an amazing veteran franchise for veterans, but anybody could come in and just kill it with this based on what you guys have. So. This is cool, man. This is awesome to meet all three of you and hear your stories. So thank you guys so much for coming on today.
Absolutely, Tim. Thanks for having us. It's been a huge blessing to be on your program and talk with you today. So thank you.
You guys are welcome. So I will quick little wrap up for everybody else, for Andy's mom and anybody else that's tuned in today. All of our loyal podcast listeners, whether you are in the States, you're in Afghanistan, wherever the heck you are, thanks for tuning in. You've made it this far. You've got some interest in franchise ownership. Like, come on, man, reach out. Francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Reach out. There's never any service or any fee for our service. So as I teased earlier, reach out to us and let us help create your better tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will talk with you soon. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Francoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.